You're listening to the Doing English podcast, the no-nonsense English learning show for professionals and experts, helping you forget English isn't your first language. Now, over to Julian.
Welcome to episode 38 of the Doing English podcast. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, episode 37, stop right now and go and listen to that first, because this is part two of a three-part interview that I did for FCE.pl, a Polish website. Again, check out last week's episode for more information on that. And before we get into the second part of this hour-long interview that I did, you can and should get yourself the transcript for this episode by heading over to doingenglish.com. And if you sign up for the Doing English daily emails, about 10 minutes, usually it takes about 10 minutes to process, about 10 minutes after you sign up, you will receive an email from me in your inbox with instructions for signing up to the Doing English resource area on the website. It's completely free. However, I do ask you to dedicate some time to helping me with my research. So again, to get the transcript for this episode, all you need to do is go over to doingenglish.com, join the Doing English daily emails, and then follow the instructions to get access to that. Okay, here we go with part two of this interview. How to learn English in a natural way. There are a lot of different methods of learning languages, but let's focus on a natural way. When we were babies, we didn't use any kind of methods to learn our native language. We just listened and repeated without understanding. This method allowed us to use our native language fluently in a few years. Do you think this is the best way to learn a new language now as we are an adult? Well, okay, there's a lot of things that I can say here. And first of all, nobody knows. Nobody knows how babies learn languages. Nobody knows how we learn our first language. I mean, even the world's top linguists who are studying first language development, you know, they have a fairly good idea. But I mean, we still don't know much about how the brain works and how language is processed in the brain, let alone how language is acquired and developed. However, it's certainly not true that babies just listen and repeat without understanding and then suddenly somehow get good at the language. Kids put a lot of effort into learning their first language. Yes, it happens. It just happens automatically. And there's probably all kinds of reasons to do with, you know, cognitive development and the fact that as a baby, their primary goal, I guess, is to acquire a language. You know, there's not much else going on up here, cognitively speaking. So it kind of frees up a lot of brain resources. This isn't something I know enough about to really be able to talk about the kind of the developmental linguistics background of it. But kids put an incredible amount of effort into learning their first language. Not only that, but we know that for most kids, they are still learning once they reach puberty. So what about 10, 12, 10, 11, 12? I can't count, apparently. Most kids will learn a certain amount of language in the home, and then generally speaking, it's when they start school. That's when the real kind of explosion of vocabulary starts. And it's also where they learn a lot of grammar constructions. Don't quote me on this, because I'm recalling what I've read when I did my master's here. But if I remember right, there's a lot of constructions like the passive construction and things like that, generally speaking, aren't learned until kids start school. So you can't really say that they just learn quickly and get fluent in a few years. I mean, that's not true. I mean, it depends on what you mean by a natural way. I mean, when I hear this, I think of Terrell and Krashen's The Natural Approach from what was it, the late 70s? No, very early 80s. I forget what year, but very, very early 80s. Krashen had a lot of good ideas, and those ideas are still very much popular today among advertisers and people who don't really know anything about applied linguistics and applied linguistics research. I mean, a great book is Barry McLaughlin's Theories of Second Language Learning. And that's a pretty old book as well now, but he is extremely critical of Krashen and does a pretty good job of decimating some of his theories and just ripping them apart and showing. But anyway, so I'm guessing you don't mean Krashen and Teron and Krashen's the natural approach, though, when you say this. So my question to you then would be, what do you mean by a natural way? What exactly is a natural way? What is unnatural about studying grammar rules? I mean, I guess it's not what kids do, but then what do kids do? We don't really know. We do know that they work really, really hard. They put a lot of effort into it. But should we be trying to do the same thing as an adult? I mean, we don't even know if we can do the same thing as an adult. My argument to that would be, what is the point of even thinking about should we learn in the same way as a child? Because we're not children. We should make use of the cognitive resources that we have. We can do a lot of things that kids can't do. And in fact, we could learn languages much, much faster than kids if we wanted to. I mean, great example, I read and to a slightly lesser extent write Japanese, which has, by all accounts, is supposed to be the most complicated writing system in the world. I read, certainly read and write, although again, my writing is far behind my reading, better than all three of my kids. Well, they're native Japanese speakers, but I can read a lot better than them because I studied the Japanese kanji using the cognitive resources that I have available to me as an adult. I can talk about things that they can't talk about because, again, I have knowledge and things at my disposal that kids don't have. Their pronunciation's a lot better than mine. Not always, actually. My daughter's very much better at English, I think, than she is at Japanese. But I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that buzzwords like a natural way don't actually mean anything. They're words thrown around by marketers and advertisers and people who have, I'm sorry to say this, no idea what they're talking about. What is a natural way? I don't know. Nobody knows. I guess it's supposed to mean learning without studying, and research pretty much shows that that is quite ineffective. And this is, again, kind of going back to Krashen in a way. Learning, like immersion-based learning, is still very, very popular. But time and time and time again, when we look at immersion-based learning, we see that students become very proficient understanders because they use a lot of contextual information. They use all of the information available to them. What they don't do is acquire the language fully. So although they can understand really, really well, they don't become able to speak as well as they can understand. And again, we see this again and again and again with immersion learning, something which Krashen and proponents of the natural way said should get us fluent, just like snapping my fingers. Doesn't work like that, unfortunately. I mean, this isn't to say that just exposing yourself to a language is not a good thing to do, because it certainly is. But what it means is balance is key. And research pretty much shows that when you start with focused, intense study, and then combine that with just input, exposing yourself to the language, it's far, far more effective than if you just did one or the other. And this is the kind of approach that I pretty much recommend in, again, my course, Two-Step Speaking, is a very balanced, you start with very intense, focused exercises that, again, very intense, very focused, it's very much study, it's very analytical, something that kids certainly don't do, something which adults can do. You start with that, And then you move into exercises which are much more input exposure based, what people think of as being a natural way. And I find that to be much, much more effective than just, you know, putting on the TV and hoping we're going to acquire the language. It doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, I wish it did. Is learning two languages effective? Lots of people wonder how to start learning two or more foreign languages at the same time. Can it be effective and effortless? Is it possible to achieve an advanced level in those two or more languages? How much time would we need to dedicate to each language to see good results? Well, first off, I don't think learning a second language or a third language or a fourth language is ever going to be effortless. Again, you know, at some point you've got to put in some time and hard work if you want to actually get something worthwhile out of it. Learning two or more languages. This is an interesting topic. I did actually make a YouTube video about this and never got around to editing it and uploading it. I would say, first of all, it depends on the two languages. I mean, this is pure theory on my part. I've never tried to learn two languages at the same time. But my guess would be that, I mean, if I were to try and learn Korean alongside my Japanese, I would get confused between the two because by all accounts, they're quite similar languages. I did learn a bit of Chinese and it's completely different to Japanese and I never had any problems keeping the two separate in my mind because they sound completely different for a start. I mean, there's very little crossover between spoken Chinese and spoken Japanese, despite what a lot of people in the West think. So, I mean, my answer to that would simply be, well, yes, of course, you can get really, really good at both of them, but how much time do you want to put into them? But then that's exactly the same for learning one language. How much time do you want to put into it? How good you get depends on how much time and effort you put in. And I guess languages learning is what we would call non-linear, in that the distance between beginner to intermediate is relatively small. I mean, you can learn a few words, a few phrases, a few grammar patterns, maybe, and you can do quite a lot with the language. But then the more advanced you get, the further and further and further you've got to go to see gains in your ability. You're just timesing that by two if you're learning two languages at the same time. Incidentally, I did do a podcast episode on the Doing English podcast where I talked about a completely made up theoretical idea of learning all of the world's languages in a certain order. That was episode 13. So check that out if you're interested. I'll provide some kind of link somewhere down below this video. Your methods of learning English. You are a founder of doingenglish.com. The website where anyone can learn English practicing your method two-step speaking. Can you explain how your method works? Is this method made from scratch or based on some other methods? Yes, I am the founder of doingenglish.com. It's not the only thing that I do. Actually, my company is Northbrook Education. Doing English is probably the main part of that. Two-step speaking. First of all, two-step speaking, it's not a method. It's not a method. And is there such a thing as a method made from scratch? All methods are basically reiterations, dare I say, often rip-offs of other methods. One person makes a method, somebody else sees it and, you know, copies it, and I don't think there's any such thing as an original method. And people who say they've got some new way, never heard of before way of learning a language, I would be very, very skeptical of that, to be honest, because, you know, we've got decades and decades and decades of classroom research and education, which all forms the base of everything that we do. So if suddenly something was completely original, I mean, I want to know what the theoretical basis of that actually was. But two-step speaking is not a method. It is an approach. At best, I would say it is a carefully sequenced, step-by-step collection of conceptual ideas and tools, exercises and things that you can do at certain points in a certain order to improve your English. We basically start, in a nutshell, two-step speaking has 10 modules. In the first module, we cover the mindset stuff because, hey, you know, you only go as far as you allow yourself to go. You sort out your mindset, what I've sometimes heard called as, you know, language learning psychology. You sort that out and you'll go a lot further. In the second module, we take a very deep look at level assessment, in particular self-assessment. I don't like tests and things like that. I am very much anti-standardized testing, unless, of course, you need that piece of paper for a boss or a university or something like that, in which case, you know, nothing you can do about that. In the third module, we look at goal building and because, you know, if you have a good goal, you're going to go a lot further. Module four, we look at the three things that you actually need to speak a language well, because you need more than just language. I mean, I think this is one of the huge misconceptions that a lot of people have, is that just knowing language is going to get you somewhere. So, you know, I want to improve my English, I'm just going to study more vocabulary. But it's just not true. You need three things to get good at, to speak English really, really well. I call that the LKC triangle. Module 5, 6, and 7, we cover a sequence of core exercises. These are basically exercises, kind of like I mentioned before, very, very effective. Certainly not the only way to go about improving your English. I need to make that clear. It's not the only way. I do not claim this to be even the best way. It's just a way that I know works subjectively, because it's what I've done in Japanese, it's what I've done in classrooms with private students, it's what I've done for the last few years online and got good results with. It's also what I objectively know works, in that I've done a lot of experimentation, both in classrooms, again with students, but also in laboratories, studying this kind of stuff that I do. The core exercises, you know, you basically work through the exercises, and it takes you through this very intensive stage, this very exposure input orientated stage. 8 and 9, we look at advanced exercises for fluency, and then for naturalness and accuracy. And then module 10 is a secret, and nobody gets to know what's in module 10 until they actually join the course. One thing I will say is, you said here that that anyone can use. Actually, that's not strictly true, because it is a premium paid course. So although anybody can pay the money and do it, it's not publicly available. So there we go. That is the end of part two of this three-part interview. Part 3 will be coming 7 days from now, next week, in episode 39 of the Doing English podcast. If you didn't already, do take a moment to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Rate and review the show. When you rate and review the show, it just tells iTunes that you care and that you're enjoying the podcast, and that in turn actually keeps the podcast in iTunes. The way that iTunes works, no rates, no reviews, no subscriptions, the podcast dies quite quickly. So if you haven't done so already, do take a moment to rate, subscribe, and review the show. I'll see you in 7 days from now with part 3 of the interview. Thank you and goodbye.